There's a smart new website that will change the way you invest using social media.
Likefolio.
Here to explain, a team of brothers, Andy and Landon Swan, of Likefolio.
And they've always been building out great technology at the intersection of social and trading.
Powered by unique social data. Analyzed by legendary traders. The Likefolio broadcast starts right now.
We live. We are live on YouTube. We are talking Tesla, Facebook, the markets. We got just, I haven't been this excited about a show in quite a while. And the reason is, first of all, we're kind of over the hump on the technical setup of getting things going. Like, we've got this switcher studio. We've got the cameras all around here. We've got the iPad, microphones. Like,
crushed it.
Nick has crushed it. And so it's like we just show up and get on, and it's been awesome.
It has been a fun learning experience for me as well. The software is incredible.
I know. Incredible. It's incredible. The name of the software that we use is
Switcher Studio, and it's actually a local Louisville technology firm.
Yeah.
And they're just nailing it. And they just put some updates today that has me excited. I need to kind of learn some new things here, and it's going to be fun. We're going to keep on getting
what
better
is it?
Every time.
It's like $250 for a year or something like that.
So it's, you can do annual, you can do monthly, a little discount for the annual.
Can like, you use your phones as cameras if you have iPhones?
Your phone as camera, your MacBook as camera. It's all iOS-based, but they also have some Mac OS X stuff that you can do with your MacBook. So, I mean, it's incredible software. It really is.
Yeah. So we're just using iPhones and iPads, and I think that we've got a fantastic setup here. My chair is a little tight. Like, I just feel like, you know, that I look, I'm like one of those guys in the commercials with a, I don't know if it's Robitussin, NyQuil commercials or whatever, where like he's got a cold and flu, so he feels big in his own house, and he's like, you know, he's like an enormous guy in like a dollhouse. Yeah. That's what this table makes me feel like. And I'm only like 5'11", so this table is obviously very small.
You should be used to that feeling by now.
I should. But speaking of which, you know, odd seating.
Now, oh, man.
Zuckerberg.
Now, I think it was our last show that I talked about his pictures.
Yeah.
How he stands closer to the camera by like 2 or 3 feet when he's with a tall person so that he appears taller.
Yeah.
And then you see him with a booster seat in front of Congress.
I mean, what is he doing? Why can't he just get a bigger chair? Like, he's got billions of dollars. He's going there voluntarily.
Right.
I would be like, I want the chair. Here's the chair I want for my testimony.
Right. I want to know who the last person was to use the booster. How old were they? Was it like a 12-year-old that was talking about some weird thing or something? Or was it an adult?
Right.
Who uses that?
I mean, the first thing I thought when I saw this was, is this real or is this 4chan
Photoshop.
Trolling the internet right here?
So it was real, right?
I don't know.
I've seen several angles. So if, if it's not real, there's a Photoshop artist hard at work.
Yeah. Okay.
It's hilarious.
I've seen memes about that being his charger. You know?
You know, that's his battery pack.
Wireless charging. Or yeah, it's his battery pack.
Well, the fact that Lana was talking about his strategies to make himself look bigger last episode.
Yeah.
And then we see this image. It's just too perfect.
Right.
I mean, I get it. You don't want to look small in front of Congress. Oh, yeah, I think it was a smart move, but it's just like, why did
get
like just
chair.
Get a better chair? But I thought he did a pretty good job. Did you guys watch it, much of the testimony?
Just a little bit. I more so watched the reaction on the stock.
Yeah, which was positive.
Yeah, positive. We saw a little bit of a downtick in implied volatility, and you know, slight uptick in the overall price of the stock. Implied volatility still high, so there's still opportunity to sell premium in Facebook here.
Oh, yeah.
I might play a wide strangle, you know, just a wide seller strangle.
Nice.
That's interesting. So people really think that there's still possibly more. Like, well, what else is going to...
I think, you know, we're looking at here at the chart of Facebook right now, and if you focus down here at the implied volatility level, you can see it's trending down a little bit, but I think... just the fact that he's in front of Congress, you just never know.
Right.
You know, if, could there
right.
be some sort of crazy government intervention that's gonna, you know, that's coming?
Right.
You just have to really
right.
kind of
yeah.
adjust accordingly in these type of situations.
If they start regulating Facebook, I mean, that's just so weak.
People can quit.
You can quit, and it's it boggles my mind that anybody would think it would be surprising that Facebook uses your data for hyper-targeted ads.
It's the biggest data company in the world. Of course, when you put your information in there, they're going to monetize that data somehow.
Yeah. I think the only offensive things would be if they're listening to your microphone or looking through your camera when you don't allow them
It's not voluntary.
Right. Or if they're getting information on people who aren't Facebook members, like your friends, through something that you're doing. Like if they aggregate pictures through all of your Facebook friends and you're not on Facebook, something like that could be kind of shady. But if you're volunteering information.
And I think that's the big issue with this Cambridge Analytica ordeal is the fact that not only the people that participated in this survey or quiz or whatever it was, but also their friends.
Right.
Like all their friends' liking activity was pulled into this data. So their friends were involuntarily involved.
That's old. Like that's 2013, man.
At the end of the day, I think it's an opportunity for the politicians to get in front of the camera again.
Right. And to pretend like they're protecting people.
Yes.
It's not like Cambridge Analytica hacked or played outside the rules. They played within the structure of what Facebook allowed.
They did in 2013. The way that they did play, from what I understand, outside the rules was that they did that in 2013. Facebook came to them and said, "You have to delete that stuff because we've changed our policy." Cambridge, I believe, told Facebook that they did delete it, but didn't.
Interesting.
But it's like one of those lessons. Once it's on the internet, and once it's out there, it's out there.
Sure.
Yeah. So Facebook's got high implied volatility, and you guys, I mean, you were supposed to bring this up. I don't normally bring this up, but I was on TV for Facebook.
You did a great job.
I was on Fox Business with Liz Claman on.
I was about to bring it up.
Closing bell. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
Well, we have the topics here. So, like, the topics are right here. These are the topics. And then, why am I the only one that brings this stuff up about myself?
Look at that pretty mug right here shared on the screen. I mean,
yeah.
That's pretty impressive stuff right there.
It was cool to go on there, and it was because Jamie Cox, who's one of my favorite financial guys on Twitter, he tweeted to a producer, Jennifer, that works for Fox Business and Liz Claman's show. She asked a question about, is the delete Facebook campaign real or something like that? And he answered and said, "At Andy Swan's at like Folio Data has already given us the answer." And so I saw that. And I was like, okay, I'm going to participate in the conversation. I sent her the report that we did,
which was a super cool report
on Facebook. And she was like, "Hey, can you come on the show?" So thanks to Jamie, for putting that out. Hooking that up. And so I went on the show, and the only reason I bring it up really is because, first of all, it's pretty cool. Secondly, everyone heard it here first, like on the Like Folio show.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about that last week before going on Fox Business. So we are breaking news. We are exclusive breaking news right here. And the other thing I wanted to show people, Nick, if you can bring up that picture of what it's like when I'm sitting in the seat.
What's up?
It brings a lot of perspective.
Yeah, because you don't see the other people that you don't see who you're talking to.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a voice in your ear.
And you have these blinding lights in your face. It's blinding just looking at the computer screen. I can't imagine what the actual light must have been like.
Yeah, it's not. The photo makes it look a little more blinding than it is, but it is just like, okay, I'm just sitting here and I'm supposed to kind of stare in this general direction as I talk.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
And you've got an earpiece, I assume.
Yeah.
Her.
Yeah. Person. And
that's crazy. So when she puts up a chart or something.
No idea.
You're just like, ah.
But she did a fantastic job. She was like, "We're looking at this chart of Facebook quits by day."
Oh, yeah.
I was like, so I knew exactly what was up. So anyway, that was a really cool experience. I wanted to share that with everyone because people that are watching this, first of all, they saw the information first.
Right.
And secondly, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing when you see someone on TV to know that they're kind of just sitting there in a stool
right
in front of a backdrop with two huge lights on either side of a camera that they can barely see. And that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's
and I thought you did a good job even without that info. But with that, it's even better.
Yeah, I agree. So I did a really good job and looked great. So
it didn't look nervous at all. I would have been nervous in that situation.
Yeah. Was the first time. So I went on, what was it, like
CNBC
2005 or 2006?
With Maria Bartiromo.
With Maria.
Google situation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when I first saw. That's how we met.
That's how we met, because you saw that clip.
I was on my lunch break.
And you're like, wait, a company in Louisville talking about trading actively?
Exactly.
Yeah, that was cool. And then you just cold called us, and here we are.
Yeah, well, I sent you an email with a big resume and why you guys should meet with me, and we should talk about trading. And one thing led to another, and we're working together.
Love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. A decade later.
And that debate was Google, long or short, essentially. Yeah. And it was sort of a long-term call, and you were like, how are you going to bet against Google? And the guy was like, they're overvalued and all this stuff.
Who was that guy?
He was from Barron's. His name.
Yeah. We got to look that up.
I think you get the check mark on that debate because Google
was he was way more polished and better on TV. Like, that was bad. But well, anyway.
Because you had 20 minutes notice.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, can you come downtown and get on TV? And you're like, okay.
Yeah, this time was a lot more notice. But enough about that. So that's cool. The you know, so you heard it here first.
Yeah.
We did promise that we talk about Tesla. I did not complete a full report on Tesla because two things happened. First of all, last week Tesla was so volatile that Yahoo Finance was essentially hedging itself on its own website. Do you have that image of the Yahoo? So it's funny, it's like the headline says Tesla shares dropping whatever, literally right above the quote of Tesla quote where it's up like $15 on the day. Right, like that's how volatile Tesla was. And so it seemed like a great topic at the time,
right?
And then now it's just like stuck at 300. Is it at 300 today?
It's like 280-ish.
Oh, it's fallen.
Well, last I looked, it was 280-ish. Sorry, I haven't looked today. 298.
298. Yeah, it's been a little bit stuck at 300 this week. So it's like I kind of wasn't sure if the story was over or all the fear of Wall Street. But it'll come back. The fear of Wall Street on Tesla comes back in very palpable waves. It's like one thing hits and then they start questioning balance sheet, they start questioning all this stuff, and the one thing we can say, Landon can talk more about this, is consumer demand for Tesla is unquestionable,
right?
Growing and at extremely high levels.
It's a fantastic looking curve, just one of those, it's almost like from a pitch deck, you know. Not quite hockey stick, but it is really solid on the up and to the right level. And is that the chart with the contrast between investor sentiment?
Yeah.
So investors are worried, volatile between bullish versus bearish, but investor or consumers' purchase intent is just up and to the right, and it's amazing. So
So every time
people want to buy them, investors aren't sure if people want to buy them, kind of thing. Or if there's probably deeper concerns about delivery and all that.
Yeah, production concerns, I think, and cash flow concerns and all those little things that probably annoy a big thinker like Elon Musk. But the fact is people are lined up out the door while Wall Street is, saying that Tesla's doomed.
Right.
It's kind of tough. We got that cartoon.
I love that cartoon. That's awesome.
We're going to start doing these cartoons.
It's great work.
These are created by Folio, which is very cool. We hire, the artist is external, but we give them the idea and direction, and then it's pretty cool. So anytime you hear that Tesla's doomed, I think it's wise to check the Folio data on the demand for the cars.
If that ever starts to fall,
then it's...
Then you got... That's like the thing that's holding it up, right? You've got all these other concerns.
Yep.
You can kind of dismiss them because people really, really want these cars. If that ever starts to fall, like there's problems with the cars and people start wondering, or maybe a competitor starts catching up, which they are.
Yeah, BMW's catching up. Mercedes. Nick, who all's catching up with Tesla? Mercedes is doing well.
Yeah, Mercedes is doing really well. I mean, even Chevy with the Bolt and Bolt is stepping into the game. There's a really cool website called NEV, and they look at all the different like electrical vehicles and all the different sales, and you can basically see a chart of, you know, what's at the top of the list. And
that's
Model
cool.
Model 3, Model X, Model S, the Volt,
etc.
And it gives you all the different forecasts for how many units they're going to move per month. For example, Tesla is forecasted to do 2,500 of the Model 3s per month as of this month. They're also, interesting fact,
about the Model 3s. Okay.
Yeah, they're in that plant that was previously producing 5,000 Toyotas, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And their goal is to produce 10,000 Model 3s in the same plant, which is a pretty lofty goal, I think, to double.
Sure.
You know, monthly.
Yeah.
10,000 a month, that's significant.
That's one of the concerns, I think, that investors have with Tesla, is that not only are they trying to kind of reinvent the car, but they're also trying to reinvent the assembly line at the same time.
Right.
And it's like...
Yeah, max efficiency.
Yeah. And
max capacity.
But I think that's the bet that Tesla has to make, because otherwise they have to bring in massive efficiencies in production to make the car in any way affordable for the normal person.
Because what was the original, like 80-something thousand?
Oh yeah, the Model S. I mean, you're easily over 100,000 if you
put some stuff in it.
Yeah, I mean, you can probably get one for 80, but like as soon as you start down that path, I looked, it's like as soon as you start down that path with like three clicks of customization that you want, you're over 100.
Yeah, it's like, well, what's the point of having a Tesla without autopilot? 5,000.
Right.
Having a Tesla without the technology package, 7,500.
Gotcha.
Do I want the slow Tesla? No.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Panoramic roof. Yeah, it wouldn't be a Tesla without that. Like, it's just like,
yep.
I don't even know if they make the base model. It's one of those deals.
It's the same with the Model 3. I mean, you're not going to get away without 45,000 at least.
Gotcha.
Okay. You know, I mean, they sell it for, I think they start at 32 or something like that, 35.
Okay.
But, have you seen one in the wild?
I saw one. It was actually kind of tiny and.
Yeah,
dorky.
I saw an X this morning.
I like the X,
which I'd never seen before. It's really a lot smaller than I thought.
Yeah.
It was, until you get in it. When we went to the Riskalyze Summit, they picked it. They
really?
Picked you up in a Model X to go to the thing, like 45 minutes away through these winding mountain roads. And I sat in there, and I'm a big guy, and it was like,
what seat were you in?
The front passenger.
Okay,
but I could have been in the back. It's the same.
Back, second row or third row?
Oh, second row.
Is there a third
row? I don't know about that. Okay. But there probably is, but it's not. Yeah, but the headroom.
They like minimized as much as they could, you know, all the bars that go across the top. It's all glass in the middle.
Hmm.
So there aren't all right. the padding that sticks down, the plastics and all that. They really minimized the plastics exposure. So there's a lot of space inside.
Yeah, it's just like a sheet of glass going over you, and then the.
I gotta check
like
it
even
out.
The visors are just like very minimal. I don't know. What is that thing called that you flip down? Is that a visor?
I think that's a visor.
Yeah. But those are like only this wide and you just adjust it as you go. Like everything's minimal in there to maximize the room of the car. I got in, I was like, I saw the Model X driving down the road. I was like, oh, well, that's not really an SUV.
Right.
Like that's a like big sedan. Right. But then you get in, you're like, oh, okay. And it was fast and cool.
Check it out. Brittany's been looking at new cars, and I told her she should check it out. And then I saw one today, and I was like, dang, they're small.
Yeah, they're also, I mean, you won't have to worry about being weighed down by your wallet if you get one of those either.
How much are those?
Oh, they're another 100 grand.
At least.
Okay.
I'll
start a new campaign then.
I think you're getting up like 120, 130 if you really do it too.
Yeah, and there aren't a whole lot on the secondary market as far as like used availability. There's a lot of Model S used availability, but I haven't seen a whole lot of X out there.
Okay.
What time is it? I know we've got calls and stuff at 10, but
yeah, it's time to bounce.
So on Tesla, though, I think that the moral of the story here is, like, it got down to what, 250, 260 on that dip?
On
those major concerns, and it was a fast move. And we looked at the Likefolio data, Nick did, and saw that demand is still through the roof. Like, the story's still the same from a consumer standpoint. They have production issues. Everybody knows that. But they weren't going bankrupt, and the options, the put options, were priced for, like, bankruptcy protection. You were into the insane 150 puts that were 45 days out, 100 points under the market, and selling them for $3.
$3. It was the most insane opportunity that I had.
40% haircut, and you could get 1% on that.
After it already been down 20 or 30%.
Yes.
Wow. That's free money.
It was free money.
That's what he came out saying. And so just, you got to have access to, I mean, Likefolio data will help you with that. You know, because it, like you said, if the demand is ever, you know, purchase intent volume ever goes down for Tesla, like then it's, you know, rats jump.
Then we're buying those. Then they're buying those 150 puts.
Right. So real quick, I'm going to wrap up. Make sure you get the, go on to Likefolio.com and just check out our pricing page. We've got the Likefolio tactical model, which does somewhere between 8 and 20 long-only positions and updates once a month. That's on there for like $49 a month. It's an annual subscription, but it breaks down to $49 a month. And then we've got the Likefolio Pro, and we have Likefolio Trader. You just want to check all that out because we got some good, we kind of got it all set up now. Mm-hmm. And the Likefolio tactical model, the reason I bring that up today is because on
that's priced too low.
I know, but okay. I agree. But on
it's too good for that.
On Sunday, the update for April is going to go out, and it's got 4 additions and 2 deletions off of there, which is one of our most active months we've ever had. So make sure, if you're interested at all in the Likefolio tactical model, that you get on there before Sunday's update. I mean, if you do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, next week, it's all the same. But the update's going to go out Sunday and will be applicable for quite a while. So that's the Likefolio tactical model. We are going to wrap it up. Landon's got a call, and we've got internal meetings this afternoon. We're going to have a little team dinner tonight with the Likefolio research crew, which is going to be awesome. So anyway, appreciate everybody being on and allowing me to pat myself on the back. Make sure you're following us at Likefolio and click subscribe on YouTube so that you get alerted when we go live. Have a good one.